Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Please allow me to begin this late afternoon once again by commending you for the excellent stewardship. We thank all distinguished colleagues and delegations for their contributions, including some on national measures related to risk mitigation. We are also grateful to distinguished colleagues referring to our proposal and are encouraged by the interactive exchanges. We look forward to continuing this discussion to evolve measures which are meaningful, appropriately address all aspects of this subject, and account for all concerns. Our deliberations on the challenges, risks, and dangers posed by laws have covered various aspects, both in the past and during the current session. My delegation finds itself in agreement with various elements pointed out by Ireland, Austria, Palestine, and Philippines, among others. Mr. Chairman, as is now the norm at this DGE, each session has also seen many delegations highlight that laws, like any other category of weapon, do not exist in isolation, nor their development and deployment can be studied separately from their broader security impacts. We have time and again also heard delegations from across a spectrum of views drawing attention to the fact that we are dealing with hardcore security issues as part of this DGE's work. Therefore, any discussion of flaws certainly cannot be devoid of this dimension. This indeed is also in line with the purposes and objectives of the CCW, whose provisions on this dimension remain clear. Mr. Chairman, as you had also suggested at the start of this meeting, we therefore view the topic under consideration in its tweaked form, that is, encompassing a consideration of the military and security dimensions as well. An examination of the military and security dimensions of laws remains an integral part of this organic conversation. Mr. Chairman, before expanding further, I wish to quote this DGE's previous consensus report on some of these ideas, and I quote, "Consideration should be given by the group on governmental experts on emerging technologies in the area of lethal autonomous weapon systems to the possible effects of weapon systems based on emerging technologies in the area of lethal autonomous weapon systems on regional and global security and stability, including thresholds for armed conflict and compliance with IHL," unquote. And also in a subsequent paragraph, and I quote, "The group concluded as follows. In the context of the CCW, delegations raised a diversity of views on potential risks and challenges posed by emerging technologies in the area of lethal autonomous weapon systems, including in relation to harm to civilians and combatants in armed conflict in contravention of IHL obligations, exacerbation of regional and international security dilemmas through arms races and the lowering of the threshold for the use of force, proliferation, acquisition, and use by terrorists, vulnerability of each system to hacking and interference, and the possible undermining of confidence in the civilian use of related technologies were also raised," unquote. I would only add that these are also areas of this DGE's work which we have to build on, as explicitly enshrined in our mandate. Mr. Chairman, the 2016 consensus recommendations, which this DGE has to adhere to as part of its mandate, also asked us to address the following important questions. Effects on regional and global security and stability. Second, effects on the threshold for arms conflict. Third, risk of an arms race. Fourth, military value and risks. Fifth, proliferation risks, including to and by non-state actors. And sixth, risks posed by cyber operations in relation to laws. Mr. Chairman, the following are some of the answers from this delegation's perspective. One, given that these systems are associated with specific military advantages, their development and acquisition will fuel insecurity and instabilities and contribute to costly arms races. These weapon systems are already being factored into strategic and security doctrines of states. Number two, while these systems might be available to technologically advanced countries in an initial phase, it is likely that they will proliferate. Number three, another risk is that laws will propel asymmetric methods and means of warfare, given the limited to no loss of soldiers and citizens on the battlefield by user states. The proclivity of states to deploy such weapon systems will be far greater, including in times of crises, therefore lowering the threshold of war or application of use of force. Number four, the consequences of such a shift could be far catastrophic in a nuclearized environment, when a state believes that there is space for low-cost conflict to achieve its tactical objectives. Number five, this asymmetric factor will engender force multiplication and increase the risk of miscalculation. The possession of laws could also appeal to destabilizing notions of preemptive strikes, thereby posing serious risks and dangers for regional and international stability, including possibilities of unintended or uncontrolled levels of escalation. Number 6. Laws could also entail additional consequences, such as anonymous and clandestine operations, including in the territory of other states, as well as possible reprisals on other fronts by targeted states. Number 7. Such a scenario could also lead to access, possession, production, and use of these weapons by non-state actors, with unimaginable consequences. And lastly, the operational aspects of military and security dimensions of laws should inter alia include demonstration of responsible state behavior and restraint in the security doctrines, as well as in their deployment and use, eschewing measures that propel arms races and crafting of trust and confidence among states. Mr. Chairman, delegations have previously observed a tendency in the GGE to shy away from adequately considering the security implications and the need to address them in further detail. This wider lens on the security impacts of laws on regional and international security is both essential and urgent. These elements also remain valid and consequential for this GGE's conclusions and outcomes and must be adequately catered for. Without adequately and accurately capturing all the problems, the mitigation or alleviation measures would be inadequate. From my delegation's perspective, this area would be an integral element of the GGE's report. Without adequately catering to this dimension, we do not feel we would be able to do justice to our work. Our efforts would not have been responsive to what remains an essential dimension of our task. My delegation would also be happy to share suggested language on this part for our draft report for your kind consideration. We are also open to constructive inputs and ideas by other high contracting parties. I thank you, Mr. Chair.